Hey there, welcome back to She Speaks Live. I'm so excited you are here listening to this episode today. I have to say, you guys, keep the feedback coming. It is so encouraging to see how much you guys are enjoying the published journal that I just released called Serenity, Calm Your Soul and Strengthen Your Spirit in Your Quiet Times with the Lord. It is a huge blessing to me. So for those of you who are wondering, what is she even talking about? The Serenity Journal is a personalized scripture journal where you write your name within the verse, bringing this close personal directive to take heed of the truth of God's word in your life. It includes five topics to choose from with 2 weeks of scripture for each one for whatever season you are walking in, such as contentment, confidence, loneliness, hope, and peace. In addition, are journal prompts and an activation prayer to release your faith for what you are relying on God to do in and through your life. It makes a great gift for any occasion, especially we are in the Christmas shopping mode of buying gifts, and I have a sale for you that is 15% off plus free shipping, so you can get one for any loved one in your life. Go to jamieelizabeth.com and make sure you use code VIP15 at checkout, and feel free to share your journal on Instagram, letting your friends know about the serenity we can obtain through God's word, and keep letting me know how it's blessing your quiet time with Him. So today I sit down with the author of over 25 books and former VP of Proverbs 31 Ministries, Sharon Janes, and we are discussing her latest book of Praying Over Your Child from Head to Toe. It's a 30-day guide to powerful and effective scripture-based prayers. This conversation is so good as we talk about the power that prayer has over our kids, no matter what age or stage in their lives, and what prayer does for us and for them. Sharon covers how Jesus taught the disciples to pray using landmarks, and that prayer is not a means to control, but one that has a purpose in trusting God's plan with our children's lives. This is so good, you guys. Let's dive into this awesome conversation. Here's my guest, Sharon Janes. Hey, Sharon. Welcome to She Speaks Life. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, I love this message that we're going to be talking about, praying over your child from head to toe. This is a published, newly written book that you just released, and I got to read through it, and I just love it. It is so unique. I have not seen anything like it before, and so I am excited to hear your wisdom and encouragement on this. And before we dive into that further, I would love for you to share if you have a favorite scripture verse and why.
John 8:32 has been my life verse for the longest time. And reason is, you know, I became a Christian when I was a teenager, but I was still so wrapped up in feelings of inferiority and insecurity and inadequacy. And I just carried all that into my Christian life with me. You could think, well, then you became a Christian and it went away, but that is not what happened. But it was probably in my 30s when there was an older woman who took me under her wing at my church, and she began to teach me about who I was and what I had and where I was as a child of God. And John 8:32 was kind of the foundation of all that, about knowing the truth about who I really was. And when that happened, it didn't happen overnight. It tells us in scripture that do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, yeah. We can't act differently than we think. And God just so changed the way I thought as I started putting the truth into my mind and just changing those thought patterns that I had all my life. And then, I mean, none of this would have happened, as you know, I've written a lot of books, but none of that would have happened and didn't happen until after I really understood what that truth was about who I really was as a child of God. And that helped get rid of those feelings of inferiority, insecurity, and inadequacy. So I've hung on to that verse, you will know the truth, truth Truth Will Set You Free. It was my license plate on my car for the longest time. But yeah, that's my favorite verse. Still is today.
Beautiful. And so important to know who we are in Him and how that just changes everything when we really take root in that and let it, you know, really get into our heart and grow. And I love that so much. All right, we're going to be talking about praying over our child from head to toe. And I love it because there's no expiration with prayer. Prayer never dies. And there's no expiration in us praying over our children, whether they are older, younger, married, every age and stage, wherever our kids are, we should always be a praying mama or daddy or grandmother, aunt, you name it. We should always be praying over our kids. So I love this book in particular that you have created, that God has inspired in your heart to write. And I can't wait to share it with the audience. So let's begin with what drew you to the topic of praying for your child.
Well, it really started back when I got married and praying for my husband. And sometimes you just don't know what to pray. And I thought, you know, pray scripture, because I know when you pray the word of God, you're praying the will of God. So I started praying scripture for my husband. And then about 10 years ago, I wrote the book, Praying for Your Husband from Head to Toe. And we talk in the church about covering someone in prayer. And that's kind of a Christianese word, covering someone. But this is literally covering someone from their mind and the thoughts they think all the way down to their feet and in the path that they take. But as I wrote the book, Praying for Your Husband from Head to Toe, it's a 30-day guide to powerful and effective scripture-based prayer. I would get emails from people, I really want one of these for my child. I need to know how to do this for my children. I said, well, you can kind of adapt it. But then I thought, you know, I really need to do this. So, yeah. And I had a child 4 years after I was married. So I began to pray this pattern for Stephen too. So that's how it happened. It started off praying for my husband, then I had a child praying for my child the same way. And then people encouraging me to write a book so we could have a pattern of prayer. Mm. And I want to call it a pattern of prayer because, you know, when Jesus' disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he gave them what we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. But I don't think Jesus meant for us to just say a rote prayer over and over, but it was really a pattern of prayer. You praise God, you thank him, right. You ask him to meet your needs, ask him to forgive your sins, protect you, and then you praise him again. So it's a pattern. So this is really a pattern of prayer so that we can cover someone from their thoughts to their feet. And also for me, when I would sit down and pray, my mind would wander. And I don't think I'm the only one. I mean, I would think, oh my goodness, I need to add this to my grocery list. Oh, sorry, Lord. And get back to prayer. And then I'd be praying, oh, I really need to call her when I'm finished. And my mind would wander. Yeah. So having a pattern of prayer keeps you on track so that you're praying these scriptures in these 16 different areas and you're not losing your train of thought as you're trying to pray.
So true. And that's how I felt when I was going through your book. I'm like, wow, I've never been so focused in my life. This is amazing, you know? So you're on point with that one. And, you know, being that you are an author of over 25 books, you have a global faith community, you're formerly a vice president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, you have been around a lot of women, a lot of moms. What are the top concerns you think this year women are going through, particularly with their children?
You know, and I've seen this change over the years of what the concerns were 20 years ago were different than what the concerns are today. But school shootings, I mean, we didn't think about that 20 years ago. Mm. But now there's 167 school shootings since 2018. And I think, when do we even start counting that? 2022, 51 school shootings, huge peer pressure. I mean, we've always had peer pressure since Cain and Abel, but peer pressure today is just exponential. Why? Because of the internet. And so they're seeing things on their cell phones, on their iPads, and they're comparing their insides with someone else's outsides. They're watching what other kids are doing together, comparing themselves, feeling left out. So much stress because of what they're seeing on the internet. And I don't mean to sound morbid, but and the suicide rate, second leading cause of death with yes. children and young adults, adolescents between the age of 15 and 24, second leading cause of mm-hmm. death. That is huge. Parents are worried about right. that. They're worried about the mm-hmm. stress. They're worried about just now sending their kids off to school and stuff is already happening. Mm-hmm. They're worried about depression. So there's so mm-hmm. many concerns that parents have for their kids today. Gender confusion, just so mm-hmm. concerned about that. But as I talk yeah. to parents and see what they're worried about, what they're concerned about, we know that the scripture tells us that we are not fighting a battle of flesh and blood, but we're fighting a spiritual mm-hmm. battle. And I really believe that there's all that war now for the souls of our kids. It says we're not fighting yeah. a battle of flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So we are fighting a spiritual battle, then we need to be doing that through prayer and God's word. You know, I also love what Paul wrote. He yeah. said in to the Corinthians, he says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I love that combination of words, divine power. It's really one word in the Greek, which is in the language of the New Testament, and it's dunamos. It's where we get the word dynamite. And you have dynamite from bringing nitrogen, glycerin together, and boom, you've got dynamite. Well, when you bring mm-hmm. prayer and the word of God together, boom, you've got dynamite. And that's the kind of power that we have through prayer as we're praying for our children in the spiritual and in the physical realm.
So good. Yes. I mean, there's so much power in that. And I think so many of us forget or, you know, don't realize how much power there is in prayer and how, you know, we can break those strongholds over our kids or anybody that we know that are going through the struggles of depression, anxiety. I know that is extremely on a rise these days with kids and what their environment entails, what they're surrounded by and their atmosphere on a daily basis. I mean, they're at school more than they are at home. So they're just getting those influences there mostly. And so it takes a lot for our kids to, you know, stand in their values and their beliefs and really walk in truth and walk in spirit. And as a praying mom or grandmother or aunt, even we can bring that shield around our kids and shift the atmosphere for our kids. So this book is very similar to praying over or praying for your husband. How do readers dive into this one?
Well, it's there's some teaching on prayer at the beginning about the purpose and the power of prayer, but the bulk is the book is you're actually praying. So there's 30 days of praying for your child for in those 16 different areas. And I want to say, this can sound a little daunting, but it takes longer for me to explain it than it does to actually pray it. So you can cover your child in from 5 to 7 minutes a day to go through all these 16 areas. So as we are going through today, going through what these 16 areas are, don't be concerned that, whoa, this is way too much. It's not too much, 5 to 7 minutes. And I think we can all do that. But we start with the mind. We start at the very top with what they think about. I think as parents, we tend to pray for a child's behavior or circumstances. But suppose we could pray for the mind that causes the behavior first, because you know you cannot act differently than you think, right? So we're going to pray for the mind. And that verse I've already mentioned, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're going to be praying for that transformation of their mind to line up with godly thoughts. So we're going to start with the mind. And then we're going to move down, pray for their eyes. This is what they look at. Now, there's very different between what you look at and what you see. You cannot always control what you see, but you can control what you look at, what you stop and look at. So we're going to be praying for what enters the mind through the portal of their eyes and then through the portal of their ears, what they listen to. Again, it's very different what you hear and what you stop and listen to. So we need to be praying about what they're listening to, because if our children listen to the wrong voices, they're going to make the wrong choices. So praying about what that child is listening to. Then we're going to pray for their mouth. And this is your sweet spot right here, because you're talking about She Speaks Life. So we're going to be praying that our children will speak life. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we want to be praying for the words that come out of our child's mouth. But I want to say here too, you know that old saying, monkey see, monkey do the same as you. Well, as we're praying for our child's words, we need to make sure that we're being a good example and that they're hearing us speak life as well. And if they hear us grumbling and complaining all the time, you know what? They're probably going to do it too. If they hear us using swear words, they're probably going to do that too. So we want to make sure that we're being a good example as we pray for their words and as we speak life around them so they can know what that looks like. Then we're going to pray for their neck. And the neck is what turns the head, right? So the neck is, when we pray for the neck, we're going to be praying for the decisions that they make. What turns their head to the left or the right? Because we know that decisions that we make, those decisions determine destinies, choices create histories. And that's whether we're talking about world history or our own personal history. So we're going to be praying for their choices. You know, sometimes, you know, I think, I wish I didn't have the gift of choice, but God did something really risky when he created Adam and Eve, when he created mankind. He gave us that gift of choice. And the choices can determine how we live our life. So we're going to be praying about those choices that our kids make. They want to move them down to their shoulders. Now, as we talked about what the parents are concerned about, boy, these kids have so many worries today. And it starts so young. I was talking to my niece's four-year-old daughter, and she was telling me something she was really worried and concerned about. And I thought, did I worry when I was four? I mean, I probably did. Of course, I can't remember, but it's just astounding to see how early they start worrying. So we're going to pray for those worries and concerns. And we know that those worries and concerns change as the child gets older. They're worrying about test grades. They're worrying about whether they fit in with the crowd. Are they too large? Are they too small? They worry about sexual molestation today. They worry about bullying. Now they're worrying about pandemics, natural disasters. And there's so much that they're worrying about.
Right.
So we're going to be praying that they will know what to do with those concerns, that they'll know that they can give their worries to the Lord because he cares for them. So praying over those worries and concerns.
I think it's crucial about us being the example of our kids. I think that's so key. And I'm not sure as a young mom, if I actually really understood that until the kids were older and I'm like, they're really mimicking me and that could be good and bad. And I really need to watch my actions and what I say. And, you know, if you're sitting around your girlfriends and gossiping and talking about others, then she's going to go and gossip about, you know, friends at school. As your kids get older, you know, I think this is a crucial one that I don't think many of us talk about, but when your kids are teenagers and, you know, I think most parents don't want our kids to party. I think if you're a believer and you're walking on the right path as a parent, you know, this is something that you're not wanting your kids to do. And I see so many parents, believers and non-believers, partying it up, and their kids see them doing that and they think it's okay. Or I just have to wait till I'm 21 and then I can do it. Well, they're not realizing, you know, you have a choice to not party at all. And us as parents, we don't need that in our life. We shouldn't be doing that, right? But it's something that I think parents think it's, you know, feeling like, oh, I can do this and then pray and hope my kids don't follow and party too. But it takes us to be that example first. So we got to get rid of that out of our life in order to be a witness to our kids. We can't expect them to do something that we're not doing.
I remember that John got his driver's license and we pulled into the neighborhood he was driving, and he went a little too fast around that corner and almost clipped the mailbox. And I'm like, Stephen. And then I thought, that's exactly how you've seen me do it for 16 years. So yeah, we have to realize they're going to mimic what they see their parents doing. So let's move on down. We've got our decisions, we've got our burdens and worries, and then we're going to pray for their heart. And this is who and what they love. Augustine said that what we love is who we are. So we're going to be praying scripture over the heart. There's so much in the Bible about the heart, the wellspring of life. So we're going to pray over who and what they love. Then we're going to pray for their back. And this is their spiritual and physical protection. We've already mentioned that we're fighting a spiritual warfare. So we're going to be praying some of those. We're going to have some fighting words right here, praying scripture about over protection for them. And then we're going to pray for their arms. Mm-hmm. Now, all through scripture, God's strength is referred to in the strong arm of God. So we're going to be praying for their strength as we're praying for our kids' arms. And that's praying for them to be physically, emotionally, and spiritually strong and healthy. Then we're going to pray for their hands at the end of the arm. And this is their gifts and talents. As we're praying, if we know that God's giving everyone gifts and talents. So we're going to be praying that our children will discover what they are, that we can help discover what they are. But listen, not who we want them to be, but who God's created them to be. I remember there was this boy in our neighborhood, and he was big and strong. And my husband was saying then, he was about 15 at the time, and he said to the mom and the boy, this boy ought to be playing football. And she says, no, he plays the trumpet. And she was so proud of that. This is what God had created him to do, was to make music. So not who we want them to be, but who God's created them to be, as we pray for those hands. And then the ring finger. I mean, as soon as our kids are born, you just had a child to get married. We were praying for those spouses. And this is an example of praying for someone who is not our child. It's praying for another child. And this is so near and dear to my heart, because I became a Christian through a praying mother, but it was not my mother. I was raised in a very difficult home. There was a lot of violence, a lot of alcohol. My parents were not Christians. I grew up afraid most of the time. I saw physical fighting as well as verbal fighting. But when I was 12 years old, I became friends with a girl in the next block. And that was a Christian family. And her mother took me under her wing, and she began to share Jesus with me and went to church with them, spent the night with them. I let her know what was going on in my home. And then when I was 14, she sat me down and asked me if I was ready to accept Jesus. So I became a Christian through a praying mom that was not my mom. So we need to be praying for other kids and the kids that come into our children's lives. And, you know, the icing on the cake of that is that I became a Christian at 14. And then my mother accepted Christ 3 years later. And then my dad accepted Christ 3 years after her. So in a 6-year period, God changed my whole entire family's life, and it started with a praying mom. So that is so just such a good example of the impact that we can have as praying moms on other children. So we're going to pray for that spouse. We're going to pray for that future spouse. And then we're going to pray for the side. And the side, those are the influential relationships in our children's lives. The friends that they choose, the friends that they walk side by side with, and the leaders, the teachers that are in their lives as well. And then we're going to pray for their sexuality. We're going to pray for sexual purity. And we're going to pray that they'll celebrate the gender that they were born with, that they won't have gender identity confusion. And again, we're praying straight scripture here. It's not my opinion on anything. We're just praying straight scripture. Then we're praying for their legs. Yeah. And this is what they stand on. And we can just look back. Probably in our lifetime, we can see things that were true when we were younger that are not true today. I mean, we grew up with Pluto being a planet, for goodness sakes, and now Pluto's not even a planet.
Yeah.
We know that things that were illegal 15 years ago are now legal. So there's this big shift in our culture of what was once wrong now becoming what's right, and the culture embracing it. So we're going to be praying mm-hmm. that our children will stand on the truth of God and not what the culture says is right or wrong. And one sentence that I wrote, it says, if they do not stand on the truth, the world becomes a confusing place and the undertow of uncertainty can pull them out to sea, the riptide of questions and the shifting tides of change. So we're right. going to pray that they will stand strong on the truth. Mm. And then we're going to go to their knees and pray about their relationship with Jesus, that they'll accept Jesus at an early age and continue to grow and mature in their spiritual life. And finally, we're going to pray for their feet. And there we get to their feet. This is the path that they take. It's the path they take on any given day, and then the path that they take as teenagers and then adults. So that's covering mm-hmm. from their mind all the way down to the feet, covering them with prayer. It takes about 5 to 7 minutes every day, and there's 30 days of that, which when you get to the 30 days, you'll want to start right back over. But even though this is a pattern of prayer, I do want to say, you don't have to stick to this. You can just get, some days you might land on one and you're on that protection, you're praying for the back. And, yeah. and you think, I just need to pray on this one thing today. And that might right. be your focus that day. So don't mm-hmm. let it become something legalistic that you feel like you have to do and stick to this pattern. But it's just a right. guide. It's a guide on how to pray scripture over our kids.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, let's not make it into a checklist. And it really is quick. I mean, I know I hear what you're saying about your describing it, but when I went through it, it was, it takes less than 10 minutes. But also the scripture that ties into each landmark, which is what you describe it as. And I absolutely loved it. I'm like, where was this when my kids are younger? But it is something that I can use today, no matter what my kids' age and stage are. And this is such a great book for no matter, it's timeless, actually, is what I like to say. And so you refer to, you know, Jesus teaching his disciples using these landmarks. Can you expand on that?
When Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, and he gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I don't think that he meant for us to repeat that prayer over and over, but really it was landmarks. Like I call these 16 landmarks. This is really landmarks yes. or a pattern of prayer. So, you know, we're praising mm-hmm. God first. We're acknowledging his fatherhood. We're praying for his will to be done. We're praying for our needs to be met, to be forgiven, to be protected from or delivered from temptation, and we're praising him again. So if you look at that, mm-hmm. that's a great way to use as a pattern of our prayer and exerting mm-hmm. what those needs are as we're praying for our needs, what those temptations are as we're praying about
yeah.
that. So this is similar in that it's still a pattern of prayer, which Jesus gave us that pattern of prayer and yeah. what we call the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, I love how you tied that together. That's amazing, because that's a new perspective for me anyway. Very cool. Okay, you stress that prayer is not a means of gaining control over our children. Instead, what is the purpose of prayer for them? I actually, if you don't mind, I just love what you shared. You said prayer is not a means of gaining control over our children to whip them into shape and make them the men and women we want them to be. Prayer is a means of relinquishing control of our plans and asking God to shape our children into the men and women he wants them to be. And wow, I just found this so impactful, because so often we pray thinking that's going to make us control them is through our prayers. But, you know, really it's giving our children over to the Lord in our prayers and having God be in control and shaping them the way he wants them to be, not, you know, necessarily our opinion. And it's not a control thing either. And I think probably for women that maybe been more to the controlling personality, or maybe think that way with prayer, you know, and really it's giving our children over to the Lord in our prayer, and He's got the ultimate control over our children, not us. So what is your definition of the purpose of prayer for them in regards to that neat quote that I just loved it? It really stood me in my tracks, and I had to read it again.
I think when you have older children, it really brings it home that we're not praying to control them and to whip them into shape, to make them little mini-me's, or to make them exactly who we want them to be. And the scripture for that is that God's the potter. We're not. He's the potter. They're the clay. And so many times we want to tell God how to shape them, and He's like, you know, I really don't need your help here. He has a plan. So again, when we pray in God's word, we're not telling Him how to do it. We're just praying the scripture over them. So yes, we are not the potter. He is, and it is relinquishing control so that He can do what He needs to do to make them into who He wants them to be. And I think part of the struggle with parents is we really don't want our kids to struggle. But when you think about it, the times in your own life when you have grown the most spiritually, or you matured the most as a woman, it's probably been during times of struggle. Right. So when we see that our children are struggling, I just want to encourage parents or anyone praying for a child, that doesn't mean that God is not working, because it's often during those times of struggle when He's working the most, when He is causing the most change. So don't think God's not answering your prayer. If you see the struggle, pray that the children that, or whoever we're praying for, that can learn the lesson and grow during that struggle. So it's
good.
Relinquishing control. We can't control it. Don't even try to control it. We're going to pray and let God control it.
Yeah. And the struggle is just where we grow our character. It's the refinement. Yeah. I don't think I've ever really grown a whole lot being on those mountain peaks. It's always in those deep valleys. It's always in the, you know, hard times, the challenging times, the hardships, the trials, that I really grow in my character. And you know, that's what it's all about. And that way we can be more Christ-like and be able to encourage those women around us who have gone through or are going through similar situations as we are. And so it's always about people with God. And I love that. Okay, so you have some verses or even some biblical stories that maybe a mom is discouraged raising their children right now. There's just so much going on with our kids these days. What are some inspiration, encouragement, wisdom that you can share with that discouraged mom?
You know, I love the story about the distraught father whose son was demon possessed. He threw himself in the fire. He had seizures and threw himself on the ground. And he took the boy to his disciples, but nothing happened. They couldn't do anything about it. And then Jesus came. And so he took his son to Jesus. And isn't that what we always need to do, is to take our child to Jesus? And he said to Jesus, if you can do anything, can you help my son? And Jesus said, if I can, you know, all things are possible to him who believes. And the boy's father said, I believe, help my unbelief. And the one reason I love that is because the father was so honest. And Jesus didn't not healing because he admitted that he had unbelief. See, we don't have to have a perfect faith. We just have to have a present faith. And he had just a little bit, and God healed his son. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you don't have to have a perfect faith, just have to have a present faith. And God will listen to your prayers. And again, if you don't see something happening right away, just know that he's listening. Know that he's working. Jesus said about God, my Father is always working. Even to this day, he's working. Yeah. And what he's saying is God's working whether we see it or not. And God's working always behind the scenes, whether we see it or not. So even though you don't see God answering the prayer the way you thought he would, just know that he's still working and he is answering prayer.
Yeah, that goes for trusting God's plan with our kids' lives and our lives and those that we love. And so I love to wrap it up with a takeaway. Do you have something to share with the listener to ponder on or take action in? Just this last minute encouragement for us.
Well, one thing I want us to all remember is that no one will be a perfect parent, but we can all be praying parents
yes.
who confidently pray for God's protection and provision in the physical and the spiritual realms for our kids. We're not going to be perfect, right. but we can be praying to a perfect God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So good. Well, thank you, Sharon, for coming on here. It's been a joy, and I love this topic about praying over our kids, and it's just so essential. It's important, and we need to do it on a daily basis. And I love your book, how it guides you to do that and do it well and easily. And it's so encouraging. And I just want to thank you for coming on here and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you. And I want to say, I just put up a new download. If someone would be interested in it, it might be helpful. If you go to SharonJanes.com and my name has a Y in it, just like yours does. It's J-A-Y-N-E-S. But SharonJanes.com. And if you look at the top bar, there's a freebies section. This is free resources. And I just put one up called Praying, Covering Your Child's Teacher in Prayer. So it's the same process, one page of praying for their mind all the way down to their feet for praying for your teacher. So if you put that out for free.
Wow, so good. Yes, thank you for sharing with us and the freebies. And thank you so much, Sharon, for coming on here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's J-A-Y-M-E Elizabeth.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.